Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen, and we're going to be talking about a couple of things during this segment. One, later on, we're going to be talking about Copper Dog and how it affects Calumet. It is one of the biggest events of the year for the village of Calumet, and it'll be coming up in just a few short weeks. And also, one of the businesses that you'll find when you do visit Calumet is Keweenaw Coffee Works. And I have been dying to find out more about this business ever since I first became aware of them, which was about 2 years ago, visiting Pasty Fest. And these folks were out giving samples of Keweenaw coffee. And I had never had it before, never heard of something like this. Tried it. It was delicious coffee. And Nate Shuttleworth is here. He's from Keweenaw Coffee Works. Also Mary Sue Hislop from the Verton Gallery. Nate, that's great coffee you're doing up there.
Oh, thanks very much, Rick.
Got to ask, what sort of gave you the idea to start selling coffee up here?
Well, it's kind of a natural progression. We were living in Chicago, and I was doing home roasting, and pretty much just we fell in love with the Keweenaw. We've been coming up here for years. We have a history up here with my wife's family is all from up here, and we just decided let's move up to the Keweenaw and open up a Keweenaw Coffee Works.
What is home roasting? I know of like home brewing and all
these other things. Well, basically the same kind of thing. Just using a smaller roaster and, you know, roasting coffee on a small scale just for home use.
Over time, have you developed like different flavors of your own? Were you doing that in Chicago as
well? Oh, sure, yeah. That part of learning how to roast coffee is developing different flavor profiles and getting, you know, different things out of coffee that you know, finding that sweet spot, I suppose. That's a good way to put it.
The Upper Peninsula, and especially the Copper Country, is known for a number of different things. I mean, I think we definitely have the best pasties anywhere in the UP.
For sure.
I mean, there's Upper Peninsula chocolate bars, you know, a countless number of things that people could say, you know, they're directly tied, you know, our thimbleberry jam, but coffee. Now, I don't think that you're actually growing coffee beans up there. So you're doing roasting. So, you know, where do the coffee beans come from?
Well, we get them from a few different suppliers. Some of them are out of California. Some of them come into New Jersey. But we like to get them from a company called Crop to Cup, which is based out of Minneapolis. And they bring the coffees in from all over the world, different small farms. We try to use as many small co-op farms that we can. And they've been really, really helpful with getting us the kind of quality coffee that we really, really need for up here.
Yeah, because you're dealing like a sort of a specialty process. You're using specialty beans
right.
and making a unique kinds of coffee.
Talk
about what
separates
it.
Yeah, whenever we can get organic or, you know, fair trade is definitely big. But even smaller farms, even still, that can't really necessarily afford those kind of certifications, we like to support them too. Because we're a small roastery and we like to support the little guy. So all of those small farms that don't get an opportunity to get their coffee into the big guys, we try to buy all of those and roast them to with respect.
Now, when you have to go somewhere to, you know, you're maybe here at the station, and I see you're sticking with bottled water, not drinking our coffee.
I've had my fill for this morning, actually.
when you have to drink, you know, sort of store bought coffee, regular coffee. Do you notice a difference in the quality?
Oh, for sure, yeah. I won't name names.
Okay, no, you don't have to.
I definitely get spoiled with the coffee I drink.
Now, I like to think of myself as something of an amateur coffee connoisseur, the way that some people may look at wines. Now, the good thing about it is, you know, I can drink dollar store coffee and drink it because I drink so much of it.
Right.
But, you know, as I said, I've had your coffee, and there is definitely a difference to it. Is there, when you buy your coffee and you get the bags and you go home and you make it, whether it's pre-ground or ground at home, are there some things you should keep in mind when you brew it so that you don't end up sort of wrecking the flavor of it?
Oh, certainly. There's several things. Well, keeping it whole bean as long as possible is definitely, you know, a big, big factor. Storing it, just keep it out of the sunlight and keep it in a cool cupboard is definitely a good thing to do. And just looking for the roast on date and make sure it's a fresh roast.
What about the water that you use?
Oh, very important. Use spring water if you can. Filtered water is fine. Just not the stuff straight out of the faucet. It's got all kinds of minerals and different things in there that are just not good for coffee.
And it will change, you know, perhaps subtle, sometimes large, but enough to notice
a
difference.
You'll definitely taste the chlorine if you're using tap water. Water's very important.
Now, what are you doing in the back rooms there of Keweenaw Coffee Works? It's not a very large place.
No, it's kind of amazing how much we can get done in such a small square footage. The back room is basically the roastery, and that's where we do all the roasting and packaging. And downstairs, we have a kind of humidity-controlled environment for the coffee storage, the green coffee. And then the front of the store is where the customers can come in, and it's more of a kind of a showroom, if you will. And we do tastings. We can taste any of the coffee. We usually put out a coffee of the day, depending on which one is, you know, perfectly ready to brew. And we have all kinds of different merchandise in the store. Anything related to coffee is in the front there.
Do you get a number of customers who walk in thinking maybe you're a coffee shop? Like,
oh yeah, what? Yeah, we do quite a bit, and have to gently explain that. Yeah, we just have the coffee of the day and right. don't. But we have, you know, a lot of wholesale clients in the area that use our coffee, and you know, they're more cafe kind of places. So,
okay. Well, let's.
We definitely direct them to those cafes, and if they're looking for a latte or a cappuccino or something like that, they can have our coffee in a different location.
Sure. Yeah. All right. Well, Leah, let's talk about that a little bit. Moving from the coffee itself into your sort of business model, So it's available there. People can walk in. They can buy mm-hmm. bags of your coffee right there at the store.
Yep.
And are you available in other local stores too?
Oh, yeah. We're in all of the supermarkets in the area. We're in the Co-op, and we're in Jim's Foods, Pat's Foods, Econo Foods. We're in, quite a few places.
And businesses who maybe, you know, like they go, we go through a ton of coffee here.
Oh, yeah, sure. You know? We do offer subscriptions, so people can order a 5-pound bag of coffee and you get a discounted price. We have some recurring subscription services online as well.
If you buy a whole bunch,
we do like a weekly, a monthly, a bi-weekly, or a, you know.
And one of the things I've noticed too is you do a lot of people buy a lot of your coffee online.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. We sell a lot of coffee online. Through our website, www.keweenawcoffeeworks.com.
Okay, great. Yeah. Let me ask, you know, since you've been only business for a couple of years here, and, you know, did you foresee that your business would do so well so quickly?
Well, we definitely saw the opportunity, and we're very happy with the way things have been going. And my wife, Valerie, is kind of the brains of the operation, and she's just a marketing whiz. So it's we've definitely been very, very happy with the way it's been going.
During this time of year, are you featuring any particular kinds of coffee?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we usually have our regular 6 coffees that we always have. Actually 7 now. We've added another one as a regular line. Then we try to have some more limited edition coffees as they become available to us. We release those kind of coffees, and I think right now we have 5 or 6. So we're also doing a Copper Dog roast, where all the proceeds of that coffee go to the Copper Dog.
Really?
Yeah. It's a Mexican coffee. It's got a really nice, sweet, kind of citrusy notes to it.
And that's the Spirit of the Trail?
Spirit of the Trail, yes. You can find it at our store online and also at the River Valley Bank.
I've had this coffee before. It is very, very good.
Thank you.
But I did not know that the proceeds were going to support Copper Dog.
Yes, they do. 100%. Okay.
So that's another way to support that event. And we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about the other coffees you have here, but I don't want to forget about our other guest, Mary Sue Hislop, who is here, since we just mentioned Copper Dog. And we'll talk a little bit about how Copper Dog, you know, helps both the Art and Business District in Calumet. It's a great event when we have it. It's a short-term event, but it definitely brings a whole lot of people.
I was fascinated at looking at the website from the standpoint of 5,000 people. I wasn't quite aware of that number. I've been told much less, and it probably depends on when you're looking at the whole scope of it relative to the communities, but I'll take 5,000. I'll take 2,000. What I love about it is the exposure from people not only on a local level, but on a national level. Alaska, I was lucky enough to look at how this all came about and discuss it with a few of the founders. And Alaska looks at our event as the premier event of the nation as far as dog races go. You can't get any cooler than that. So it's that whole thing of how do we go about taking that market and appreciating it and enjoying it and finding a way to make a good experience in our businesses in the downtown area and surrounding areas, as well as our organizational people, to basically say, you know, welcome to the Keweenaw, come back again and again, don't just come for this, but make sure that they understand that there's value in our area being a destination.
Now, the downtown area of Calumet, which, you know, being a Calumet resident myself, I'm there quite a bit, except for late at night, there's a lot more business going on than, you know, people realize. There's always cars parked up and down the streets. There's a lot of business that is happening. But what happens during especially the opening night of Copper Dog, is it's best way I could describe it is like Calumet goes back in time a little bit. You know, we always hear about how bustling and packed Calumet was and mm-hmm. of all the, you know, the nightlife and activity and the families. All that comes right back on that night, and with everything lit up, with all the stores open and all the people and all the buzz, the electricity, it's a miniature resurgence of Calumet. The businesses themselves that you've talked to, now I've talked to people who say that it's their, you know, one of their best night, if not their best night of the year. Mm-hmm. But overall, what's the impact that Copper Dog has in a longer sense?
You know, I think that whole idea of you try and find a way to take advantage of the event in ways that make sense to your actual business. In our case, we're looking at a build-up to the event, and then, of course, we've got Friday night in town, but Saturday night is not in town. So we're looking at the market of how do we get the build-up to the event as well as after. And it's funny, when we do our first Fridays, people will say to me, well, what were your sales for First Friday? There is no such thing as looking at the sales for the moment, especially in art. I think that's what I love, is for when people come back and say, couldn't get it out of my head, had to come back. I couldn't quite commit that night, but all week it's driven me crazy. Or the excitement of coming back on Saturday. We get a ton of people who come back the next day who say, gotta have it. You know, couldn't do it last night, or I had to think about it, or I had to talk to, you know, my spouse or look at my house. So the impact is not just the moment, it's actually the exposure is what it comes down to. We aren't on Fifth Avenue, we're on Sixth and Oak. So, you know, someone said to me, how do you drag them down your way? That's kind of why we're looking at the before, and especially because it's not on a First Friday. If we were to depend on First Fridays as our business core, none of us, the 14 of us, would probably go out in all reality. But from what I've talked to with other people, they've said it's spectacular to have people come in and use your bathroom and drink your cocoa. It's the reality. They've walked into your door. It's up to us as to how to figure out how to get them to feel welcome, to feel like they should come back, feel like they should spend money with us, or at least appreciate what we have.
Because Calumet, at least the downtown district of it, doesn't sit on a sort of a natural thoroughfare. US 41 is like two blocks over, so a lot of people maybe going up to Copper Harbor and back, or just driving back and forth from work. It doesn't bring you through downtown Calumet the way that you go through downtown Houghton or Hancock. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of stores and businesses that sort of fall under the radar that, when you come to Calumet during a major event like this, you become aware that they're there. And you're like, oh, okay, I didn't know that, there's a, pediatric place in Calumet. I don't have to come to Houghton. Or that I can come to Calumet for, massage therapy. I don't have to go to Hancock or to one of the hospitals. Just having that amount of activity going on there, I think helps, businesses who may not even be open for Copper Dog, but there's stores there, and if they're smart, they're taking advantage of the crowd.
Well, and that whole idea of people seeing what's there because they're on the streets. It's a very walkable community. It's one of the reasons why the Art District was formed, for the simple fact that it's a walkable community. You can go to the majority of the Art District as well as the majority of downtown. It's a very short distance. You know, it's jam-packed with a lot of good businesses, but you don't have to worry about so much climbing hills and, you know, going so many blocks. I think that's part of what was so good about Calumet, quote-unquote, back in the day, is that people could get everything downtown. I lived in Laurium a long time ago, and I remember walking to the Red Owl, which is now Aspires Fitness. But it was, you know, four blocks from home, and I could put the kids in the stroller and pop on over and grab something and, you know, call it. I'm in my little town, as opposed to when we lived in the bigger city, it was a minimum of 20 minutes to get to a grocery store. I think that's what's great about the QAnon General is we've got very walkable, bikeable communities. But from a downtown aspect, you really can't beat it. You know, there's so much to be had in the downtown area that it does take people actually getting out of their car, walking it, trying to get a handle on the realities of where everything is. But there's so much more out there that people don't realize because they go through the one way. So there's a two-way on 6th.
Now, you have a first Friday coming up, the first Friday of February, and we want to make sure that we talk about that as well, because your next first Friday after that won't happen until after Copper Dog's over. So you always have specific themes and things going on, and the Verdon Gallery itself, just with the, you know, if people haven't stopped in there even since you've opened up in November, they need to come back now because it's really starting to take shape in there.
Well, when we talked about how would we handle the winter as far as the Verdon itself, there's 30,000 square feet to heat. And, we're still in kind of that developmental infancy. I think we're getting closer to the toddler stage. We're walking. We're no longer cruising or crawling or laying there looking cute. We're really moving forward in the sense of how we develop our audiences. And First Friday is an integral part of that, and we're really grateful that we have the support of the downtown as well as the other galleries and the history behind it. I think what's great about every month is the whole theming thing comes back to February. For a lot of people, is all about Valentine's Day. Gifts from the heart really do need to be personal. We joke about the fact that if you've been together a long time, how do you even begin to look at a gift for someone that you've had to, or that you've chosen to give? I shouldn't say had to. That you've chosen to give a gift every year. It gets trickier as the years go by, and to find something that actually relates to your marriage or, you know, to your relationship with your loved ones. It can be a lot of fun rather than, oh, I'm going to run over to this big box store and grab some chocolates and call it good. It took a long time for my husband to realize that I don't like dark chocolate. So now he's at a point where he's thinking about it, as opposed to, let's get her the same dark chocolate every year. I think you need to stretch, buddy, you know, after 30 plus years. So I think that's what's cool about the Art District is there's so much very unique, wonderful things for people to look at during the month of February.
So if you're looking for an idea for Valentine's Day, take your wife or significant other and take her into one of the art galleries, I mean, perhaps the Verdon Gallery, and see what catches her eye and go, yeah, honey, well, we can't afford that. And then come back the next day and buy it for her. Then you got a great gift for her.
Oh, we had that at Christmas where this woman kept coming in and, you know, holding a couple of things. Oh, it matches what I'm wearing. Oh, it does so much for my eyes. And she was great. She was crazy. She was fun. But she was right. Every time she came in, that belonged to her. So I did go to him. I said, your wife wants this really bad. I'm making your life easier for Christmas right now, you know. But that opportunity, boy, that's a great one to look for. But you do see that where people fall in love with something and they do the, oh, do I deserve it? Oh, do I really need this? Everybody needs a little bit of beauty in their life.
not to use an obvious segue, but if you're looking for a great gift, you could stop by the Keweenaw Coffee Works, and they have some great brands of coffee, different flavors. And Dade, I wanted to give you an opportunity there to sort of get ready to talk about the different coffees that you have. So people come in, they say, Keweenaw Coffee Works, do you have a one sort of like your original brand, that's the one? Or
yeah, sure. We have, well, our flagship coffee is what I call it, is the Uper Blend, and that's a nice Sulawesi Indonesian coffee, which is really smooth but bold. It's a medium roast, and that is by far our most popular coffee. We have an espresso, we have a dark roasted French roast, the Northwoods. We have some dry processed coffees, we have some lighter roasts, and then going back to our limited editions, those are, you know, small batches. We get a couple of bags of those, bags being 150 pounds at a time. Yeah, those are, you know, more limited edition. We find what the good attributes about those coffees are, and then roast those to perfection. And going back to the other thing, the Nicaraguan coffee that we're going to be getting is another one of our donation coffees for an organization called Love is in the Bag. So $5 of that coffee is going to go to that organization, and they do canvas totes for, they fill them with all kinds of products, and that's for veterans and children. And you can check them out at loveisinthebag.com.
That's great.
Yeah, we try to do as much of that as we can for different organizations that are doing good things for the community. We like to support the Little Brothers. We donate to them. The Garden View retirement facility up there. Just if anyone's doing something really good for the community, we like to support that through coffee.
Well, that's a great way to support it. Yeah. You know, and if somebody has, you know, and you probably get this a lot, if they have like they have the idea for the best kind of coffee, and they come to you, are you open when somebody comes in and they says, you know, have you ever tried a flavor like this? Do you have, you know, do you just
right?
Do you listen to those people?
We don't add any flavors to the coffee. It's all just what's naturally in the coffee itself. Okay. So it's just my job is to basically.
So no dark chocolate raspberry coffees for Barry Sue.
You can take it home and put that stuff in if you like. But no, all of the flavor in the coffee is kind of there, and it's my job to kind of bring it out and find it and get it roasted to that sweet spot I was saying. Hmm. Yeah.
Are we going to continue seeing you out at events like Pasty Fest and having those booths?
Well, when we first opened, we tried to hit everything. We tried to do Pasty Fest, Heritage Fest, the farmers markets. The Finn Fest was a huge stepping stone for when we first opened. In fact, we still have the coffee that we did for Finn Fest. It was such a big hit that we had to keep it on because people were demanding it. And people come in all year for the Copper Dog coffee, too. And
it's good coffee.
Unfortunately, we don't have it all the time, but that definitely going to the residual benefits of Copper Dog. People come back for that kind of stuff, too.
Now, for being open on First Fridays, I know it depends on usually the First Friday, what time of year it falls in, what else is going on. Do you make any decisions about if you're going to be open for this First Friday?
Oh, we will be open First Friday for sure. Yeah, and we might have some, hot chocolate and different things like that to sample.
Yeah, nice to get warmed up. I mean, especially, a cup of coffee. Yeah,
late at night, it's a hard sell.
walking around on the art walk with your bag of coffee and your little free sample of coffee from Keweenaw Coffee Works. I can't imagine anything better.
Yes,
yeah. Okay. And then during the Copper Dog weekend, any plans to be open extended hours?
Oh, yeah. We'll be open both Saturday and Sunday, Copper Dog weekend. Because there are things going on in town. There's, on Saturday, I think they do a race of some sort down the main street.
Well, we've seen the cardboard doghouse races and stuff. I wasn't sure if they were doing those again this year.
Yeah, and there's still people in town that have come to see the race, and they're, wanting stuff to do. So,
yeah. And we focus a lot on the Friday event, but the Sunday, the finish of the race is also a great day. Usually, mm-hmm. Now, that's happening during the daytime. For some reason, the sun seems to come out a lot in those days, so it's usually a very nice day. Now I just jinxed it. It's going to be a blizzard on Sunday. But it's another day to come down, grab some lunch, cheer on the racers as they're arriving back in Calumet, visiting businesses like yours downtown to see what they have going on. And certainly, if the Verton Gallery is going to be open on that particular Sunday, it will be.
Yes.
Okay, I'm getting the nod.
Oh, yes.
Definitely stop in there and enjoy it. Nate and Mary Sue, thanks for coming in. It's always fun to talk to you both, and I can't wait to have my next cup of Cuban or coffee.
Great. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.